El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions, but now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do this show. Joining me today, she is one third of the trio that hosts the Brouhaha podcast, which you can check out every single Monday right here on the Unpops Network. She's also got a great podcast of her own called 12 Questions. You should check that out too. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Valenzuela. Also joining me, she is also one third of the trio that hosts the Brouhaha podcast on the Unpops Network. She also hosts another Unpops podcast called You Do What? Ladies and gentlemen, we're so happy to have them both here, Cindy R. Ravina. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
Yes.
How is it going?
That is the show that we are doing.
We are having a very good go of things. It's going very smooth. This is definitely not the second time we've started this podcast.
Very natural.
No, definitely
yeah.
not. No.
We are.
Exactly.
We're doing great today.
It's smooth like butter.
Just like butter.
Just like butter.
I apologize that we did 59 minutes of the other podcast, and contractually I get to say that we have to start from scratch on the second try.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really good podcast, but...
It was great, but yeah. I'm sure we have another good hour in us.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Anna Valenzuela, Cindy Aravina.
Hey, hi. We're here.
You're both here.
We're both here. We're both Brouhahas on the Unprops Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that Brouhaha podcast.
That podcast just launched. By the time this goes up, it will have been last week. So there'll be three episodes people can go listen
yeah,
to.
Three. Yeah, three. We launched with a double three. Episode. We were coming in hot and heavy. We were yeah. like, you better.
On some Guns N' Roses shit. Two albums in one day.
Yeah, we're doing it like a Chappelle special. That's right? what we're doing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, getting it. But...
The new Chappelle special of podcasts.
Well. no, it's actually really cool. It's a podcast. It was kind of born from the, we'd. Kind of talked about it. Somebody had sort of implied it. We'd all hang out at open mics and be our sassy selves. You know, you can't get three of us in a room together and not have it get a little bit sassy, a little bit fun. And I was looking on my Facebook, or it was probably an Instagram one day, and I saw a podcast with just lovely ladies. And I said, oh, great. Another podcast with just three white chicks talking about white chick problems. And I was like, whoa, you need to check yourself.
Yeah.
And I was taught in 12-step programs, all you need to do is start another meeting is a resentment in a coffee pot. So I immediately sat down and messaged the ladies, and Brouhaha was born. It was
nice.
Like, yeah. You know what? Let's have something for us. If that's the way you feel deep down inside, girl, don't bitch about it. Fucking make a solution.
So. Right?
It just works. We all have curly hair.
Yeah.
We all wear yeah. earrings.
Yeah. I didn't know any of that story. I just, Vanessa approached me about it, and I was like, yeah, whatever, go for
yeah,
it.
Vanessa's, yeah, Vanessa's, and it, I couldn't think of, everybody, it was just such a, by the end of the day, it was such a collaborative effort. I think we have, what, 50 topics for
oh,
a podcast
yeah.
by the end of the day.
Like, we had a whole year's worth.
We had a whole year's worth. Cindy created, like, a full Google Docs. Like, it just came together so quickly. It was just, like, the idea was so meant to be. We just went for it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was like Brouha magic. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. That is magic. Mm-hmm. 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 And Cindy, you host another podcast on the network also.
I sure do. Excuse me. The name.
Come on.
Hey.
I know. Second take. the name of my podcast is You Do What? It's newly on the Unpops Network, but I have a lot of back episodes, so you got to catch up.
Yep.
I interview comedians about their traditions and rituals. Anna's been on it.
Yeah.
Adam just did it. Vanessa's been on it.
I can't yeah. wait to listen to the Adam episode.
It's good.
That's going to be amazing.
If you want to hear me get really emotional talking about Oksana Baiul at the 94 Olympics.
It was beautiful.
I remember yeah. watching that. Because I was raised in the middle of nowhere, so like figure
she deserves a
on.
Movie too.
Yeah.
That was the other really interesting story that year.
Yeah. Do you ice skate?
No. No, I don't even think I can.
Can we have an Unpops ice skating day where we all go ice skating?
That would be so
it
cute.
It is one that Pasadena. Many people hear Adam's voice and they don't know what he looks like, and they think, oh, that's definitely the voice of an ice skater.
Yeah, yeah.
He does not. He does not have
he's
the
He's about 100. He has 110 pounds, very lean.
6'3", 239.
I saw him doing just a full splits just when we walked in here.
Yeah. I do them to get ready for the podcast.
He often plies and releves to do all sorts of things.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, we could do a figure skating thing if everyone, like, I would just kind of want to watch, but if everyone wants to, like, try and hit some triple axels and things.
That'd be fun. Maybe,
I just want to wear the outfit.
Yeah.
Fuck the skating.
The outfits are great. Outfit. That's also so why funny. I don't want to do it. I don't want to wear that outfit.
You don't want to wear the outfit?
No, I'm not in male figure skater outfit shape.
Male that's figure insane. Skating is... That's a whole other beast, too.
Yeah, but it's not as fun, for one thing.
I like that the figure skating now, when they, like, the commentators, there's usually, like, one extra, like, ex-figure skater, and it's always some guy in, like, a blouse, like, with, like, one earring. Like, he looks like a Venture Brothers character. Like, it's the most funny, and he's just, like, talking so seriously, and nobody's like, bro, you look like a big gay parade float. Like, you look like West Hollywood right now. You're adorable.
Yeah, I'm not. I just don't like it as much. Anna, you host another podcast. It's not on the Unpops Network, right?
Yeah, it's
Hit
not.
It, Brett. Oh. You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes. Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life.
Teed it up perfectly.
When all I want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. And that's why we call the segment This Week in Me. It's about to get really intense. Everyone can attest I play this on the guitar myself every single week.
He's doing it right now doing the splits on ice
skates. I slide a guitar out of my sleeve like Ron Burgundy and Anchorman playing the jazz flute. And it's pretty great. Fade it out, Brett. Okay, I'm sorry. You can tell us about your podcast.
I love that. It's called 12 Questions, and myself and a co-host, Alex Wong, we ask people 12 questions from a recovery perspective, and usually what it uncovers is a lot of crazy stories about, like, robbing somebody's sister or jumping off a roof or blacking out in America and waking up in Asia. Like, it's like a lot of fun stories, and then so you just kind of figure out the way people's brains work, and it's pretty awesome. Cindy did it, and what we discovered is Cindy is not an addict or an alcoholic in any way possible, which is great. You know, trust her with your secrets and your keys. but it was kind of cool to kind of, like, sit down and be like, wow, our brains work a little differently sometimes, but I love it.
Nice.
It was a good time. Good way to get to know each other.
Addicted to anxiety and being a control freak.
I think that's the one thing is I was once told everybody could benefit from the 12 steps. Like, if there's a moment where if they could just come up with a fucked up People's Anonymous, like, that would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'd love to do it sometime.
Ooh, would you like? Yes, yeah. Come on, Sam.
I drink a lot, though.
That's perfect.
I think you're the target. I think I'm the target demo, probably.
I've had a couple of times where I've interviewed people and we haven't been able to release it because immediately afterwards they have some sort of terrible rock bottom with whatever condition they didn't have. So I don't know if you want to come on, but you're welcome to.
Now I really want to.
What about your podcast makes people want?
It's like
to
a haunted house of emotions.
Well, because you ask a lot of, like, one of the questions we ask is, how do you experience surrender? Right? That's, like, the first question that we ask.
What?
Yeah. How do you experience fear and anxiety? So you get deep. You get into all those little onion layers. You get in there.
Mm.
Yeah. It's fun. I know. It sounds like a real bummer. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. We laugh a lot.
I'm sure it is really.
Tell a lot of stories.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, because you get, like, yeah, exactly. Like you said, you get into a deeper level of people that they might.
Yeah.
Not share on your typical Yuck 'Em Ups podcast.
And exactly. And the one of the things about it that was important to me is I've been clean for 15 years.
Wow.
So I've spent my entire adult life not partying, not doing anything. So I wanted to ask people questions from how I view the world and see how their brains work. Because I've been out of the game for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Maybe we'll have one.
Yeah, please.
Network.
Yeah, I'll send you one. We should all interview you. It's fun. It's a good time. It's about an hour. It's about hour 15, hour and a half. It's a little longish.
I can talk for that long.
Okay.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, we ask you questions, so it's good.
Brett, you smell like a skunk's asshole.
You do.
I certainly do.
Because your dog got skunked. My
poor little baby got skunked on Sunday
What type
night.
Of dog?
A pity.
Oh.
Yeah, I went, took her for her, you know, around 11 p.m. final whiz of the night in the backyard. She's out at the back fence. I am about halfway between her and the house, and I hear a sound of rustling behind me, as in between me and the house, and I know the dog's in front of me. And I go, oh, no. And I turn around, and there is a skunk just hanging out in the yard. And now I have to control my, somehow calm down my dog, who, once the dog notices it, is going to make a beeline for the skunk and try to chomp it in half. And I try to be like, come on, baby. You know, like, let's focus, listen to me, stay. But once she saw the skunk,
it was on.
It was over. My house smells like a skunk's asshole. All of my clothes smell like a skunk's asshole. I smell like a skunk's asshole.
Did you wash the dog?
Nah. Yeah, you have to do
let it fester.
A solution of hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and dish soap. But because it's hydrogen peroxide, you have to be careful with it because it's a little bit acidic. And but she got sprayed in the face, so you can't really like clean out her eyes or nose or Aww. Anything with that. So she's been getting a little bit better. She was very sorry for herself that night. I went to a CVS around midnight and bought every fucking candle and bottle of Febreze and Glade. And that's how my weekend was. And every time I go back to my house after being outside of it for a few hours, I'm reintroduced to the smell of skunk.
Have you tried Nature's Miracle?
No.
That's
I've heard of it.
A cleaning
product.
It's called
fire.
Yeah.
Burn your house. I burned my dog. I ate her power.
I once. that's so funny. We did see you chasing skunks on the way in. Yeah. So it was,
I can't control myself.
I once lived in an apartment in Orange County, and a skunk sprayed somehow inside of our house with an open window.
The worst thing about a skunk is everyone's
Yeah, I called in sick that day. I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to work.
I would have gone to work because I'm like, I can't deal with this smell. I literally had to sleep with a bandana around my face.
Gangster.
It's cool that you just had bandanas around the house. Are you in a gang? What's going on?
Love
he does,
a bandana.
In fact, lean like a cholo.
Fun fact.
Good point. Yeah.
Fun fact in your welcome packet for Bonnaroo each year. Send you a bandana.
Are you going to Bonnaroo this year?
I'm thinking about it.
Of course you are.
Good electronic lineup this year. Late night is going to be good.
Who's on the lineup?
Just in general, Eminem, The Killers, Muse. Not like crazy about it. Well, I'd like to see Muse.
Muse, I hear, he puts on a great show.
Oh, for sure.
What's the electronic lineup? Is it like
Bass Nectar?
Oh, shit.
Glitch Mob. All the hot ones.
I have no idea.
You know Bass Nectar.
Yeah, you know Bass Nectar.
Listen.
Look, I know Bass
you
Nectar.
Host the sober,
Bass
you
Nectar?
You host the Sober podcast, and I go to Bonnaroo.
Hell yeah.
So
I went to Coachella in 2008.
Oh, that was a good year.
Yeah, it was a good year. Yeah. I saw Kraftwerk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm just letting you know where I am at in my life.
You're killing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I felt like none of what we were talking about so far lent to the topic today. But now that we're talking about Bonnaroo and Coachella, maybe.
Yeah,
close.
Definitely.
We're talking about gentrification.
Hell yeah.
Yay!
Woo!
Loosely defined as me and Brett moving to your neighborhood.
Hey.
It is big news these days. I mean, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Mostly because no one can afford to live anywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the story that got me interested in doing this particular episode, because I just sat down yesterday and was like, what are we going to talk about? I don't know.
Oh.
And I was going through headlines, and there are commuter buses in San Francisco getting attacked right now. The buses that take people from like Apple and Google.
Specifically the corporate-owned ones.
The corporate-owned buses.
People don't know, in San Francisco, every single person works for a tech company, and the
right.
big ones, Facebook, Google, Apple, they're not based in actual San Francisco. So for their employees, they have a free bus that takes them from the city to, you know, Palo Alto or wherever their headquarters are.
And doesn't Facebook and a couple other – is it all one bus to one company? Or
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure they all have –
they're different buses, and I think they contract them out. And it's one of the issues people have in San Francisco is that these buses also use like regular bus
stops.
Yeah,
the municipal bus stops.
Yeah.
And they have to pay to be able to use the municipal bus stops.
I'm sure the city is making a pretty penny.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A nice penny.
But it's because of those buses. That's kind of how
they're like a symbol of the anger of the change in San Francisco, sort of.
And that's how the protests in San Francisco around gentrification are normally geared toward those buses.
Yeah.
Like they're either at bus stops or it's about shutting down bus lines. And that's kind of one of the things we're talking about today is how different gentrification protests look in different parts of the country. Because it's not always the same thing. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's people fighting over the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just...
I think every individual city, especially in California, seems to choose its symbol for, like, gentrification encroaching on their territory. So I know here in L.A., it's the artisanal coffee shops that are the line of defense.
Right.
And this is a blueberry muffin with fennel sausage.
sounds delicious.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Yeah, that sounds all right. Yeah,
And I know in the Bay, it's the buses and that, cause I mean, I've done some comedy up in the Bay and it's a fascinating place to do comedy because, everyone's really, their quality of life is really, really high. The people who can afford to go out and do stuff at night. And so their quality of life is so high that when you like tell a joke that has even a saddish tinge to it, they're like, oh, Daddy Facebook doesn't let that happen to us. No. They get a little bummed out. And then on the flip side, like, there are a lot of really angry people that can no longer live in the neighborhoods that attracted these goofballs to the city to begin with, you know? So there's just a lot of simmering rage. I'm not surprised somebody went at a bus with a pellet gun.
Yeah. And
to be fair, it was just a pellet gun.
Yeah, it was just a pellet gun.
I mean, who hasn't been shot at with a pellet gun?
And there's no proof that it's not just a kid having fun with his pellet gun.
Yeah.
And just shooting the biggest targets that drive by every day.
Some people throw rocks at the buses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Most of the protests happen around these buses.
It's very Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, like when the king is going through a neighborhood and then the villagers just lose their shit all of a sudden. It's very Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I like it.
I was just going to ask, do you guys think that maybe some of the anger is misplaced? Because Facebook, Google, and Apple, they're not going anywhere. They're there to stay.
Yeah.
It's not really... I mean, they... As a result of them being there, yes, rent is going up, but they're not the ones setting the rent prices. It's the people that own these buildings.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the things that's interesting about San Francisco, normally when you talk about gentrification, it's people going in and putting up new businesses or like renovating apartments to the point that people can't afford to live there. It's not really that in San Francisco. It's just the rent going up and the apartments are still trash.
My brother lives up there and, you know, he's paying huge, huge prices to rent a room. And then, you know, the next year, once the lease is up, they'll get a new lease. The landlord will be like, oh, yeah, your rent's going up.
Yeah.
70%, and I'm not making any changes to the apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point. I don't know would it be a better trade-off for those tech companies to not be there?
Well, some of them are moving down here to Venice Beach.
Yeah.
It's becoming Silicon Beach. Mm-hmm. And also, like, a lot of that gentrification and that housing hike in Northern California, it's bleeding out to the surrounding neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So Oakland, for example, is just gentrifying rapidly.
Yeah.
And Oakland's a fascinating city, kind of like Long Beach, where it's aggressively, like, Long Beach basically reached a gentrification stasis. It's still, rent prices are still going up, but it was sort of a place that really kept its neighborhood identity. A lot of people, like, would buy shirts that said, "We Heart Ghetto Long Beach." Like, there's a real love for the way that the city actually is. And I feel like Oakland has a little more of that, but it's just the housing prices, the way the neighborhoods are just changing overnight. So it's like, where do you get a good taco? Where's your good 24-hour like tacos or Indian food in the middle of the night? Oh, well, you got to drive a little bit away. That should not be an answer in Oakland.
No.
That should not be an answer.
Yeah.
So
I lived in San Francisco for about 3 months. And the only way I was able to live there, this writer friend of mine had a rent-controlled apartment that he'd lived in since 1997.
Wow.
And his rent was $700 a month.
Whoa.
And he charged me $1,200.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
To stay there?
But I mean, like $1,200
at
that time.
Not bad.
Yeah, right now, average rent for a one-bedroom in San Francisco is $3,300.
That is just...
That's insane.
How are the comedians staying up there? What are they doing?
They must all live... live together in fucking communes and things like that.
No wonder
they live in Alcatraz. There.
I get it now.
Yeah. I would live at Alcatraz. That'd be kind of cool.
The genius who renovates Alcatraz into a tech, like it's a co-work space, it's
gonna
shopping.
Be, oh my God.
It's
going to
be the Kirshners that the Kirshners go
in. You did
in.
This, Cindy. Good job.
They create, it's jumbo on the water.
The lofts at Alcatraz.
Oh my God.
I'm way into that.
That's going to happen.
They keep it extra cold inside.
Elon Musk hit me
steel.
Up.
Oh, my God.
Let's go gentrify Alcatraz. That'll be our new movement. Yeah, San Francisco, it's weird, but it's to be expected. If you've ever been there, there really aren't cheap areas to live.
No.
They're getting pushed further and further out. There aren't even cheap areas to park in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
No, there aren't. I once to record a podcast in San Francisco paid $35 to park on the street.
Jesus
I was like, you should have told me I would have taken the BART from the moon. I would have parked at the moon and really? Taken the BART in.
When I lived in San Francisco, we had to park. We rented a parking space for $150. And to get to our car, we had to walk 8 blocks, take a train, and then walk another 8 blocks just to get to. So
might
we
as
never
well just
drove.
Park in, so like somewhere else, you might as well just park
set
in
your
San
car
Jose.
On fire,
yeah, I mean we basically did. Yeah.
Even San Jose's going.
Even
up.
This, the San Francisco 49ers, like, oh, we're just the San Jose 49ers now. We can't afford to live in San Francisco.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
football team moved.
Raiders are in Vegas now.
Oh, yeah, both teams. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
When does that happen? Is that next season?
I think in 2 or 3 years.
I'm going to miss the Raiders.
Why? They're going to be, miss them. Why? They're gonna
miss
be closer and gambling adjacent.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I'm not even a huge Raiders fan.
Yeah.
It's got dollar signs in your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a venture capitalist over here looking to gentrify all sorts of things.
Mm. Alcatraz, the desert.
I guess my fandom is just more pure.
The desert will never be gentrified. No one.
Las Vegas. Well, it's just they just keep expanding.
Yeah.
You can't gentrify. Yeah, you can't gentrify an old neighborhood.
Yeah, that's just polish on a turd out there. That's all that is.
Yeah. I have an idea. James Cameron, gentrify the Titanic. It's 700 cabins of sub-Atlantic real estate in beautiful northern. Iceland. I don't know where it is. Somewhere up there.
So it'd be like Snowpiercer, but we're all on a boat.
Basically. But it's under. But it's all underground. It's all under the water.
Oh, you mean the actual sunken Titanic that's still down there?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Why does James Cameron own it?
He loves the Titanic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, big old bone for the Titanic.
Yeah, that is true.
If we live in the Titanic, I call the car that Rose and Jack fucked in. That'll be my house.
No. Oh, man. The smell.
Smells like a skunk's asshole in there.
Sorry,
that was a callback to you getting skunked, Brett.
Yeah, it's all right.
So yeah, that's what's happening in San Francisco. It's a little different in L.A., mm-hmm. especially in Boyle Heights. There's been, what's the name of the coffee shop? Is it like, it's like Weird Waves.
Weird Waves.
Or something.
Yeah
Weird Waves. Yeah. And a lot of the protests have just been around this one
coffee
place.
Shop. Yeah, and it's crazy because the Latino actually owns part
of
it's like a co-owner.
That's the
guy
thing.
Who put up the money for
put
it.
The money up for it.
And that's a huge thing with a lot of the gentrification in LA where it comes from like these trendy coffee shops and restaurants. Mm-hmm. A lot of those are owned by people of color. So it's just kind of like, okay, do we punish these people for kind of like, you know, creating their own little being on the come up essentially. Like
it's capitalism.
That's where I have like the biggest I guess, issue with people being mad about gentrification. It's like, okay, why should we be punishing POCs for, you know, just trying to make a living, trying to have a business? Because that's what we want. We want to see them succeed.
I have a show out in El Sereno at the Holy Grounds Coffee Shop. And El Sereno is just on the other side of Boyle Heights. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's untouched territory. And one of the guys who also promotes out there, his name is Mark Alexander, shout out. He has lived in that neighborhood for a really long time, and he actually went to Weird Waves and crossed the picket line and got coffee. I asked him why, and he said, here's the deal. I was really not a fan of when you couldn't go to Echo Park because people would shoot you. Mm. It's kind of nice to live in a neighborhood where there isn't so much violence, or where you can go to a grocery store. Because this neighborhood in El Cerrito has no grocery. There's little bodegas and stuff here and there, and there's that coffee shop, but that's pretty much about it. And that coffee shop's worth going to. Everything they make is amazing, but it's really far off the beaten path. And I can tell that eventually, it was so funny. My dad grew up in Boyle Heights. My uncle grew up in El Cerrito, and he came by the show one time, and he was just like, "Mia, you should move to this neighborhood. That would be kind of cool." And I was like, "I think at this point, I'd be gentrifying my own people, and that would be so weird."
That's kind of how I feel with a lot of that stuff too. Because like I have a white boyfriend. We live together. I'm like, is it gentrification if we move to like one of these neighborhoods where this is happening? Even though I'm Mexican, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean the whole white boyfriend thing. My boyfriend teaches tutor Spanish, and so he's teaching me Spanish, so I think I'm officially gentrified. I'm getting my language back from him. So
yeah, I read an LA Times article, I forgot who wrote it, but it was an opinion thing on the Weird Waves coffee protest, and they pointed out there's also a Starbucks in Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
Like, that would probably be a better protest.
That's part. The thing to protest. Yeah. The thing to protest. You know, it's sort of like they brought in a 7-Eleven, and I did not act. and then they brought in a Starbucks, and I said nothing. And then there was a Whole Foods, and I had no place to live. You know, it's like calm down. But yeah, the Starbucks is really, I've heard that. I was actually listening to there's a really good KPCC piece on this specific subject, because Boyle Heights, like they have signs in the neighborhood that are like, we don't want your art space here. Because people started to try to put in their like multifunctional art spaces. They were like, get the fuck out of here with this. Like, we still want to live in our neighborhood. They really decided that a very specific type of, I don't know if it's artists or what you categorize as hipster or whatever the Pasadena flea market is. Like, if that moves into your neighborhood is lost. And so there's like some really active fighting against it. But I think there needs to be more rational discussion of like, how about you do like, not that this is a great example, because San Luis Obispo is definitely the whitest neighborhood, the whitest city. Ronald Reagan recommended it as a great college to send your kids to.
So
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo's there, but they actually have a no drive-through policy in the town because they want small businesses to survive. That has never changed, but it didn't stop Chipotle from moving in and closing down my very favorite burrito shop across the street.
No.
Did not change that, but it still staved off a lot of that kind of growth and just overt corporate economics, you know, inundating a small niche town.
Yeah.
So maybe there needs to be some city ordinances that, you know, kind of say, like, if you're going to do this, you can only have so many artisanal fucking macrame shops per block, you know? I don't know.
My town where I grew up, which isn't far away from here, also has a no drive-through thing, but there's still plenty to get to. Like, you can't drive, you don't have to drive too far.
Yeah.
But they did allow very recently an In-N-Out to move in, but In-N-Out had to change their branding because the colors, they didn't want the garish red and yellow to be seen from the freeway.
What town are you from?
Westlake Village.
Oh, yeah.
Hell
what?
Yeah. I grew up in Moore Park, so I've driven by that In-N-Out.
Yeah, so the In-N-Out is all sort of like brown.
Raiders colors?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Jacksonville Jaguars colors. It's teal. No, it's all brown, very earthy colors and stuff.
Wow.
From the freeway, when you drive in from the shopping center, on one side they do have your red and yellow.
But I guess those are ordinances you can pass when you live in a really affluent city.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is quite affluent.
That's the thing. We'll talk about another one that's happening in Europe in a bit. But when you pass ordinances like that, also the argument from the other side is always, well, then you're just keeping people from investing in that neighborhood altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I don't know if that's necessarily true. There can be a balance.
There has to be some kind of balance. Yeah.
Like you said, Chipotle can still move in. They just don't have a drive-through.
Yeah, exactly. Or whatever.
Why aren't we more angry at Chipotle?
I'm angry at Chipotle.
Food is bad. It kills people like every 6 weeks.
I will RIP T. Alberto's San Luis Obispo burritos the size of a baby. I will never forgive them for that, because it was like the Chipotle moved in and I went to T. Alberto's. I went and got my little burrito and I was like, how's it going? They were like, Chipotle's killing our business. And I was like, no.
And Chipotle's so. Not good.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's the thing in California. It's like, if you want good, people always, you know, when they visit, they're like, well, where can I get a good burrito? And I'm like, well, if it looks like the dodgiest place in the world and they sell a burrito that's the size of your forearm for $4, then it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be dope.
Have you tried cilantro yet? Cilantro
no,
Mexican
you
Grill
told me
North
about
Hollywood?
It. You told me about it,
ooh,
but I forgot.
Ooh, I'm a NoHo person.
It's in I think it's a Chevron gas station.
Oh, nice.
But the guy who started it is like a professional chef, and he worked at this gas station for like 10 years and talked them into letting him open this restaurant.
Heart.
And the burritos are so fucking good.
And in North Hollywood.
They are the best damn burrito, Cilantro Mexican Grill.
I have a place like that by my house. It's in a Chevron, and they make awesome Mexican food.
So great.
I love that North Hollywood, basically North Hollywood's in a Chevron. That's, that's the thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. And that'll be interesting. Like, rental prices, even where I'm at, and it's half meth trailers and half, you know, half old Cholos, and it's still, the rental prices are through the roof right now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, that's the thing about Boyle Heights. It's one of the few places in LA that's still not that expensive.
Yeah.
And I think part of the thing is people just want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Like, there's, I don't know what neighborhood Connor McSpadden and Keith Carey live in, but I can walk there from here.
Filipino town.
Could be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor McSpadden said the gangs in that area have taken to tagging apartment complexes and buildings just kind of to keep people from renting there.
Oh,
like
really?
To keep rent prices down, which is like, that's not a bad idea.
It's an interesting form of protest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. There's also Austin, Texas, the Blue Cat Cafe. That's a more complex story.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. The protests there started with a pinata company that was on, I think it was a pinata company, it was something like that, was on the parking lot that's next to the Blue Cat Cafe. And a company bought the land that this pinata company was on, and without telling the owners, they just bulldozed the building. So the two people who owned this business for years and years and years, and their lease was going to expire and they were going to be kicked out anyway.
Yeah.
But this company had bought the land, and the same day they bought the land, or the same day they got permits to bulldoze the building, they got permits to throw a party for South by Southwest.
Mm.
And that was the whole reason they wanted this property. So they just bulldozed this business that had been there for years without telling the owners. And the owners just showed up to work and were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's fucked.
So the protests there are a little different.
Yeah, that's just pure evil.
Yeah.
That's just some Grinch Who Stole Christmas shit.
Yeah, like, because no matter what the protesters do, they're not bulldozing businesses that people still are running and depending on for their livelihood.
Right.
So that's a whole different thing.
Oh,
and
I was just in Austin this summer, and it is a lovely city, and there's clearly a gentrified area, and I did not stay in the gentrified area. Everybody's like, what are you doing? I was like, the Airbnb that was cheapest was right over
there. Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of nice. I took the bus system, and I really went out of my way to kind of like hang with the locals. And they were like, yeah, you should go up over there. And I was like, but really? And they were like, nah, you should go over there. That's better. And so it was a really fascinating city, but they were basically saying, you know, I was like, why? Austin's a city where I got catcalled so politely, I was flattered. And I was just walking along, and a guy was like, excuse me, miss, I couldn't help but ask this, but do you happen to have a boyfriend? I was like, I do. And he said, well, thank you for your time. Have a wonderful evening. And I was like, I'm going to move to the city. great. This is great.
Pardon Mama me, needs a ma'am, confidence boost 24/7.
Can
I
you
know.
Show me them titties?
Can you show me them titties? Like, it was really sweet. So I was really enjoying myself, feeling myself there, and I came back to LA and I was like, why don't we all live in Austin, Texas? But then I realized they're freaking out because they have tech companies moving in. It's the tech companies. Once the tech companies start moving in, you're fucked, Boyle Heights. If Google opens a satellite office, you're boned.
Yeah.
But the tech companies started moving in and they were panicking because people could not, because also the way, you know, a lot of cities in Texas are set up like in a big circle. So all the highways kind of go around in a big circle. So having to move further and further out of that circle.
Yeah. The thing about Austin and rent prices, one of the things that bothers me about Austin in general is it's one of two cities in the nation. I bring this up all the time. Austin and Portland.
Yeah.
The two places where people tend to complain the most about people moving to their town. And
yeah, townies are fun for you. I've been a townie in my life.
The thing about Austin and Portland both, at one point in the late 90s, early 2000s, they both passed resolutions that basically said if you put up housing, you have no requirement to make any part of it available as low-income housing.
Which is bullshit.
Which is, that makes them the two cities in the nation that have that. Like, that's why in Santa Monica, all of those really nice apartments, like, by the promenade, if you look at those, there's units in there that are really cheap, but you can only make a certain amount of money to rent them.
Their HUD home.
And it's because of that. And Austin and Portland both did that because it was a time when they were like, oh, well, this is like a cool place and we can afford it. But we also don't want like the cool poor people moving in. So let's just keep Austin weird.
We don't want those PCs POCs coming in with their.
And then now that the tech companies are coming, they have nothing. There's nothing to save them from that because they at one time they were the ones that wanted to keep the poor people out.
What's going on with the protests? Are the folks like
it's all focused on the Blue Cat Cafe, which if you're going to focus a gentrification protest anywhere, you probably do it at the coffee shop with cats living inside it.
Oh, Yeah.
Because that's a sign.
That's a health code violation.
That's white people planting their flag in your neighborhood.
Yeah, there used to be a vegan restaurant in Long Beach that had a cat that lived in it too. And I was like, I'm sure their food is good, but there's an animal living
just
in
a
that
big
restaurant. I don't know how I feel.
Health score hanging in the window.
Like, I don't know.
Picture of the cat behind it.
My cat doesn't stay off the counter.
But the reason the protests have been centered there is because this Blue Cat Cafe is on the same land that Pinata company was on.
Yeah.
But it's next door and they built it after.
They literally could have shared the land probably.
Yeah. And because where that company was now is just this cafe's parking lot. So they tore this company down just to throw parties at South by Southwest.
Paved paradise.
I was just going to say Joan Baez has a tear sliding down her cheek right now. Just like, no, the piñatas.
So it's understandable why the protests are different there. But what happened recently is that cafe got vandalized.
Okay.
And the question is, did the protesters do it or not? Because they say they did not. And I have a very conspiratorial heart. And as soon as this cafe was vandalized, they basically glued the locks shut, which...
Oh, that's all they did?
I mean, it's not that bad, but also there were all those kitties in there that couldn't, like, no one could get to them. And they also, like, spray painted shit on it. But also, like, as soon as that happened, InfoWars showed up, like, all Alex Jones people. And the protesters were like, no, we didn't do this.
Yeah.
But now there's all these interviews where they're, like, talking to the owner of the coffee shop, but not talking to the protesters. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of getting blamed on them, but it's still kind of up in the air as to whether they did it. But now InfoWars is making it look like, hey, Antifa's killing white people and... Austin.
Listen, at best, they almost killed a cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like because
cats
are like
surrogate white people.
I actually worked in a business where we had cats living on the, but we were a pet store. We had cats that lived there, and And yeah, you got to be able to get to the kitties because you never know who has thyroid medication. Because it's usually, yeah, if a cat lives at a business, it's a cat that's too raggedy to support. Like it has medication needs generally.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I understand that. But I would say, I think what begs the question is, like, if civil disobedience is justified in a democracy, how much civil disobedience is justified when you're fighting capitalism?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, because that's
the core of all this.
Yeah, it's just capitalism. Mm-hmm. It's just capitalism and capitalism without compassion. One of the funniest things about San Francisco, I talked to somebody there who's a banker. She's like, you don't understand. Bank of America does a lot of good things for the community. And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm staying in your very beautiful house and I'm not going to flip this table over because it's more expensive than anything I own. So I'm just going to wait. But like, there is at least in San Francisco a veneer of altruism, whereas
yeah.
Don't like South by Southwest bulldozing your building so they can have a party for a bunch of drunk buttholes that come here once a year,
yeah,
and kind of like probably wreck the place a little bit. You know, the townies all just bunker down and hide, and then you don't. Did they compensate that business in any way?
They did eventually. There was a lawsuit and they settled with the business owners. Mm. But even then,
I think,
like,
they should be able.
That's such a harsh fucking story.
Yeah,
I
think they should have to get to that point. Is just
yeah,
yeah. I think they should be able to bulldoze a Restoration Hardware and put the pinata shop there. Then
yeah,
you know what I mean, or like someplace.
Oh, that they did actually move the business somewhere, like, okay, not far from there.
Good.
But I think it was just that act, like the act of bulldozing someone's livelihood.
It's so cruel.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can and. It also makes me wonder, though, what kind of protests were there around South by Southwest? Because right. Do you, like, if you really want to, like, South by Southwest, don't forget, they also were, like, holding, if you were a performer who was coming to South by Southwest, they have a deal, basically, where you can only do certain shows and you can't do the shows that aren't promoted. And there
were...
And
for comedians, that must have been a law they violated immediately.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. What they did is they threatened bands that were coming from overseas, or basically saying, well, one of the things we'll do is notify immigration that you're doing work illegally in the country and violating your visa, which... How fucking shitty is that?
That's so gangster.
But no one really protested South by Southwest.
Well, probably. It's capitalism. It makes all the businesses there a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. And Texas is a small. At least they
don't say Texas is small.
No, it's huge.
Texas is the biggest.
They brand themselves as a small business friendly. Yeah. At least a lot of the people who vote there vote in favor of things that they believe will benefit small businesses and often don't.
Well, Texas has historically voted for what they think is right, but is actually wrong.
But it's, yeah, very wrong. Very wrong. And then we're like, we're underwater and everything's on fire and we don't know what to do. But Texas is an interesting place. I can't imagine... You're right. They should have been protesting. But again, it's another one of those things of like, the festival came to my town and I said nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, they were just like, cool, we're going to make a bunch of money. And they didn't think about the long term repercussions of how that might change the neighborhood itself.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like the Olympics of music coming to town.
Yeah. Basically, you know, and there are real humans that live in Coachella and they have to deal with the aftermath of that music festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Coachella? I've never.
I have. And the one time I went, I actually, I stayed with a friend whose family owns two houses in Indio.
Whoa.
And I got to stay for free at one of the houses. So nice. I had a good time. Yeah.
That's what nice doing. Out there.
Portugal the Man's at Coachella this year.
Oh, they're in the second line, bro.
Yeah.
They're not headlining, but they're like they're top billing.
They're way up there.
They're the second largest font you could be on the poster.
I thought of asking John if we could get into Coachella, but I'm also sure. I've heard him describe backstage at Coachella, and it sounds bad.
Are you?
You don't want to. I've been backstage at music festivals. They're not. There's not.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be a bad
just
time.
Kind of chaos, and it's hot. Do you have an in with Portugal the Man?
I toured with him last year.
Talk for after this?
More than friends of the podcast.
They are good friends of the podcast.
Menches of the podcast. Beautiful boys.
They're so nice. They're the nicest people in the world.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
And they're very talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
much. Yeah, they let me open for them on their. They did a club tour last or a year before last.
That is so
fun. What year is it? It was 2016.
Oh gosh, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'd gotten tickets to see them here in LA and. As a gift for my dude, and he got a stand-up date he couldn't turn down, so we ended up giving away the tickets. But he's a huge fan. He turned me on to Portugal the Man.
They're so great.
They're
great
very, very good.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, we got to get back on track. Gentrification's a fucking
gentrification.
Butter.
Portugal the Man just gentrified this podcast.
Ah! They gentrified Top 40 Radio with their hit of the summer, Feel It Still.
Feel It Still. Such great song.
Coming at you, Cardi B!
I don't know.
Let's she talk. Might respond. Have you seen her Instagram?
Oh, she does.
She's responds to haters, and I can't get enough of it.
I'm sorry, Miss B.
Yeah.
No, I'd be fine with her responding. That'd be great.
That'd be great for our pops.
So let's talk about Europe, because the gentrification doesn't just happen in the United States. Mm-hmm. Yay!
I thought they had completed Europe, and that's how America started.
Yeah. It seems
like we're done gentrifying here. Let's move somewhere
let's
else.
Let's move somewhere else. We're going to dump tea in the harbor. No, wait.
There have been some protests. There was one at a place called Serial Killer Cafe, which you protest that place just based on name alone because that's stupid.
Wait, who's...
Oh, Serial Killer.
Serial Killer with a C.
So do they have cereal items on the menu and or do they have letters from John Wayne Gacy and like...
I think it's just the bowls of cereal.
The cereal. Just the bowls of cereal?
Yeah.
Side note.
There's no murder clowns?
Side note.
That is disappointing. You're right.
If it was a serial killer themed cafe, I'd be like, why are we having this conversation?
Well, maybe the cereals are named after serial killers. We don't
know.
John Wayne Cheerios.
That's not Cheerios.
That's how I would market it if I was running that stupid business.
Dahmer Puffs.
Honey Bundy of Oats. I like it.
Side note, I went to a grilled cheese restaurant in Australia this most recent Christmas called Toast Faced Gorilla.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's really good.
That's a thing you do see with, a friend of mine, shout out to Carlos Delgado. He told me that you can always tell you've reached end stage gentrification in a neighborhood when the Australians arrive. And since he said that to me, it melted my fucking brain. I'm like, no, we were just walking around in Piedmont, which is like a neighborhood in San Francisco or in Oakland. We're walking around and I heard Australian accents and I was like, babe, your city's over.
It's happening. LA is over.
It's over. Australians are here. We're fucked. Like, they have all that disposable income.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. Let's see what's going on here.
This is a protest that happened at the Serial Killer Cafe in 2015. Look at all the torches. There are children eating at this place. It's a place that serves cereal.
Is this tiki torch level of torches?
No, I think it's just people outside. And at first, I thought this was someone outside filming in. And I was like, man, it's really crazy in the Serial Killer Cafe. But no, these are people...
Trapped inside.
Basically trapped inside.
There's a man with like a skeleton bandana, and he appears to be spray painting or trying to spray paint the front glass.
Dope.
And this...
It looks like a...
These are black bloc communists. These are people who go out and cause property and damage and whatnot to protest.
And they're basically protesting this place because they see it as a symbol of income inequality because they sell cereal that's like $4 and $5 a bowl, which that is a lot for cereal.
That is a lot. That's a lot for a box of cereal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they sell... Oh, by the way, Central Market here in LA has a PB&J stand.
Do they?
They do.
Is that
peanut
new?
Butter and jelly stand on the inside?
Wow, is that new?
Where is it?
It's Central Market.
Oh.
Yeah, very close to here.
Yeah, that's walking distance.
But also, that's something that you make when you have literally no other
food. Money.
And no money.
Same thing with cereal. Cereal's for poor people and for lowering your libido. That's what cereal's for.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not for...
Although I was at a weed festival in Santa Cruz one year, and a guy just came through the crowd selling peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but they were really cold. And
that guy made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. He made a lot of money off me and Keith Carey.
Oh, yeah. That makes complete sense because those ingredients are so cheap, so he's making crazy profits.
A killing, yeah.
Yeah.
He bought a loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly and then was selling them for like $2.50 each.
To a bunch of high people? Wow. Yeah, it's a good business.
Very high.
How many did you buy?
I bought two.
You bought two. How many did Keith buy?
24.
That guy sells two sandwiches. He's already in the black.
Yeah, yeah.
He's wow. killing it. Good for him.
So one of the things that they're doing in Europe right now, and I thought this is interesting. Another thing, there was a protest in 2016, an anti-gentrification protest in Berlin, where 123 police officers were injured. Now that's the spirit.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I love it when Europe goes off, because when they go off, they get serious.
They fucking like, get after it.
Never forget, we had two world wars here. We will fuck each other up.
But they do a thing in Berlin. Basically, they started these, I'm not going to nail the pronunciation of this, Mielschutz.
Oh, yeah, the Mielschutz.
You know, the Mielschutz. You just start the Mielschutz and it stops gentrification.
The Mielschutz.
And that's basically translated as social environment protection. But what they do in Berlin to fight gentrification is, yes, it's allowed to some degree. If like you can come in and put your buildings and your businesses up. But also, if you buy a building where people live, the government can step in and say, okay, you cannot renovate this building to the point that it will price the current residents out.
Oh, wow.
It would be wildly controversial if someone tried to do it here.
Oh, yeah. People would lose their minds.
Because that would go against the laissez-faire attitude of business over here.
Yeah. But it seems to be at least kind of effective over there in that it's keeping, you know, big blocks of building, which are, that's a big thing in Europe, tenement housing and just big, huge high-rise apartments where a bunch of poor people live. We have that here, too.
Yeah.
In Berlin specifically, you cannot renovate those places and kick people out. And, I mean, we could try it here.
We could try. I mean, we do have some housing control. We do have some rent control. I live in a rent control building, but I think our rent went up like $50 this year.
Yeah.
You know, but they do have something like that. But I like that model. I think that's responsible. I think the idea is we have to remember that I think there's an idea in our country that poor people choose to stay poor. And therefore, if you can't afford to live here, go live where the other poor people live.
Yeah.
Go live where the other garbage.
Or just get a better job.
Yeah, like, just get a better job.
Just get one.
Yeah, just go ask for one.
Yeah, why don't you just
go ask for one. You go ask for one when employers have routinely, I've heard this from folks that they've worked for companies where the names on the tops of the resumes, they said, don't bring anybody whose name is Jackson or Johnson or anything like
Washington.
Yeah. You know, where those hiring practices, it isn't, you can't get mad. You can't get mad at people for not being wealthy enough to afford the place they already live in anymore.
Yeah.
You got to allow, I think that's actually really responsible because it allows neighborhoods to change in a measured way where it's not just like all of a sudden you have an arts district. The minute they call something an arts district in your town, you're done. Yeah. Once you have an arts district, it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does seem like a measure that does allow for a balance of still investing in a neighborhood in a way that doesn't necessarily displace all the residents.
Yeah. And I'm sure the building owners hate it.
Oh yeah,
what are
for
you
sure.
Do? Did you hear any of those? Any of the things that the Trumps did when they wanted to get people out of buildings and
no,
like, that's not good.
I've read things about like slumlords like saying, oh, we have to repair your front door. It'll be back next week. And now you just don't have a front door
no,
in your apartment.
That's terrifying, especially like in a place like New York or
yeah.
I don't know a lot about the way that a lot of European politics work. Do they not have as big of an issue with lobbyists trying to get what they want over there? Because I feel like that's the biggest roadblock in our politics.
Yeah, it's actually no. It's I think it's not as big of an issue over there. Mm-hmm. The governments there are more, especially if you're in, they have more representation. There's usually a lot of different political parties, at least at the like parliament level or whatever they call their version of Congress or Senate over there. There's usually a little more representation and you don't hear as much about lobbyists having an impact on foreign politics. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that would be. I don't know if they pass some sort of campaign laws at some point.
Well, I feel like the governments have a little bit more power in Europe, for better or for worse, like in terms of speech isn't quite as free, but it seems like the only speech they really kind of buckled down on is Nazi speech.
Yeah.
But that's something that's I don't know if we'll ever see in our lifetime is the government saying, you know what, you can't do this Nazi shit anymore.
Yeah.
You can't walk down the street with a swastika sign yelling crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
But for now.
But for now.
Fine.
Yeah, or today's New York Times op-ed, maybe ban the Jews? Question mark?
Really?
Y'all seen that today?
No.
Today, the New York Times ran a series of op-eds from Trump supporters instead of running op-eds from their typical
crew. Oh, good.
Brilliant.
And one of them was like, the title was like, a small suggestion, ban the Jews.
That is brilliant. Just a small suggestion.
What a smart move to put.
So small.
To print that and be like, oh, this is what you wanted? Is this what you guys want to read? You want to read this fucking garbage?
That
here
is
you go.
True. I think there's like a thing in, I know we're running long, but I think there's a thing in journalism where a lot of journalists or people or editors are like, well, if both sides aren't mad at me, then I'm not doing my job right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is insane.
But maybe don't run the headline, ban the Jews.
Yeah.
Question mark? Because some of those people are not so smart.
Did it have like the little shrugging emoji at the end?
Yeah.
Goose stepping.
But I mean, as far as gentrification goes, what do you guys think is like the best solution? Or is this just going to always be the way of wealth and poverty, the way it works in capitalist countries?
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. It seems like there's never going to be a perfect solution.
Yeah.
Like it's...
Yeah.
And then also,
God forbid, not a final solution.
No, definitely no final. Well,
final solution.
In this country, it could be that. Yeah, that could be what they go
small
with.
Small suggestion: kill the Jews.
Kill the Jews.
But I mean, I do like the model they're trying in Berlin because I think that is a big part of it. Is it's fine if you want to invest in a neighborhood, but let the people still live there.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
It's, I think that's where it becomes an issue. That's the issue in San Francisco. Because in San Francisco, it's not like they love a fucking artisanal coffee shop.
Hell yeah, they
fucking
do.
Fucking adore them. But they also want to still be able to walk to them from their apartment and not have to live in Marin County or wherever the fuck.
Yeah, way out in the middle of the sticks.
So
Marin County. We good?
That's very correct.
Welcome to my garage. How many cats? Hey. Marin County.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think I do like the model in Berlin. I think making a point of still allowing some investment without displacing people.
Yeah.
Whatever can accomplish that.
Yeah.
I think would be the best solution.
I think I agree. Yeah, that's got to be.
We fixed it.
Hey, everybody.
Yay. There's no more gentrification.
Yay.
No more gentrification. I wonder if Boyle Heights would actually, if somebody from Boyle Heights is listening to this, like propose that at a city council meeting.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, why not? Get involved.
Yeah.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Don't just, like, you know, throw a rock through a business's window or glue cats in. You know?
Oh, go kitties.
Oh, no kitties.
You know? No glue kitties.
No glue kitties. You know, actually go to your city council meeting and see what you can do to, you know, be a voice in your community.
Yeah. This was should we do comments? Oh, we are. Hey.
Yeah.
It's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's not true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from the past few shows and respond to them personally.
Personally.
Oh. Fade it out, Brett. And by that, I mean just let it fade out naturally.
You're such a good piano player.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I also slide that piano out of my sleeve.
Yeah.
Full size. Inflates. Yeah. Let's read some comments quick. Christopher Clark, this is a comment from SoundCloud, says, God damn it, do not put Brett's Big Brother podcast on the Unpopular Opinion Network, because then I will listen to it, and then I'll have to explain why the hell I'm listening to a Big Brother podcast.
Babies, 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 the new season of Big Brother is heating up in February. Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother hits our screens, if you have CBS, everyone has CBS, it's free. Me and my co-host, Danielle Gibson, are going to be doing a podcast a day about Celebrity Big Brother, Charlie Sheen. The Tiger's Blood himself, hashtag winning, is rumored to be on this season. It's going to be good.
You just came alive. You know that, right? Like, you're a different man right now.
I know.
It's what happens when he talks Big Brother. Jack Watson says, David Cameron fucked the pig. But he was head of the Conservative Party, not Labor Also, he was two PMs after Blair. He's the one that looks like his face is made out of ham. Whatever, dude.
Oh, that clarifies.
We just know one of your fucking dudes fucked a pig. One of your politicians. Guess it was David Cameron.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then there's that Black Mirror episode.
Oh,
which
no.
actually
Didn't
preceded the story of him fucking the
really?
Pig.
Wow. I heard he just put his wiener in a pig's mouth on a dinner table. It was like a suckling pig. That's what I heard.
I don't think he fucked. I don't think he.
I think he face fucked a dead pig. That's what he did.
It's all bad.
That's
also bad. Yeah.
Unlike the Black Mirror episode, which makes this delineation, I don't think David Cameron fucked a pig until he came.
Do you know how smart and strong pigs are?
No.
You would take
a lot.
He didn't fuck a pig alone, is what I'm saying. he fucked a pig with a few people.
Christopher Strange says 719-266-2837. That's the Call In Oates number. Everyone familiar with Call In Oates? You ever need to hear a Hall & Oates song?
Really?
You call that number, they got five options.
Oh.
You can dial up Man Eater, Private Eyes.
That's
the
awesome.
Possibilities are endless. Well, there's five.
In a world where no one can afford to live where they want to live, the Call & Oates number is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Like, thank
it's really
God.
Great.
Thank God that exists. That's for fun and for free.
Bailey Wiggle says, also, Riverdale is a terrible show and everyone should watch it. I can't get into it. I feel weird watching
I'm
it.
I'm an adult man. I don't care.
Well, no, I know many adults.
Yeah, it's about that. It's like a teenager serial about Archie Comics.
The Archie Comics, but it's like a gritty reboot of the Archie Comics.
I don't know how much it has to do with the original Archie Comics other than the characters have that name and the sort of like love triangle nature or it's like sort
it's
of honored like
wildly
Veronica
popular.
And whoever.
Yeah, it's wildly popular. They have like gangs and all kinds of stuff, and like people are so excited they're actually tagging their neighborhoods with the gangs from Riverdale.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh come on!
I know Pickle Rick, or whatever the fucking
who Pickle Rick is around.
Either, or in the shit about that show.
In the
well.
Fucking
come at me, bro.
What Szechuan sauce? You know,
yeah.
It's like people are starting to take it to the streets.
Fuck that Szechuan sauce! Put your own soy sauce and sweet and sour sauce. Jared Camilleri, this is the last comment we'll read. I love the frivolity that having the old crew back has brought back with them. Also in from Australia, and cricket is rubbish. It's just a boring version of baseball, basically.
That is correct.
I would buy all that.
Are you? Okay.
Oh, where's the ding? There we go.
There it is. Did he say cunt? Oh, no, he didn't say
no,
cunt.
No, I just, sometimes the ding is just to punctuate an affirmative belief.
Oh, okay.
And the buzzer is to be like.
Or when people say cunt.
Oh, yeah.
They love saying cunt in Australia. It's like a term of endearment.
Yeah.
That's literally my favorite word. It's the only word that upsets my stepmom.
It's a great
I'm
word.
I'm going to say right now, cunt. Love it.
Yeah. We have a dinger for that when people say cunt.
Perfect.
So this was fun. We should wrap it up. What do we have to plug? This is coming out next week. So I will come to the Darkest Hour second Friday of every month at Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. Come see me tell jokes of that and come to our live podcast last Saturday of every month at the Hollywood Hotel. Anna, what do you got?
Okay, here's what I got. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Anna V is Fun. You can check out my show dates at AnnaValenzuela.com. I also have another podcast, again, 12 Questions and Brouhaha on the Unpops Network.
Woo!
Dope. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cindy Arvina Jr. And I, like I said before, I've got You Do What on Unpops and also Brouhaha. Oh, and I also host a twice monthly show at the Karma Lounge in Koreatown called Sets Tape. We tape comedian sets for free. So
that's
come support.
That's a nice service.
Yeah, come support.
Very nice.
Oh, I have a show in El Sereno at that little place called Holy Grounds. Come to the last ungentrified neighborhood in Los Angeles to a comedy show, which I don't know if that's gentrification or reverse gentrification. I'm not sure if we're ruining the place or not.
Hmm.
But we'll have our next show on February 6th.
Nice. Brett, you got anything to plug?
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie BB.
Hi, baby.
Everyone check it out.
Yeah, download and subscribe and download it. And shit.
We're going to get that on the network soon, too.
I know.
All right. Let's get the fuck out of here. Anna, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Cindy, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Brett, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.